About a year ago, I was walking at the local mall. It was raining or something, I don't remember. Anyway, I ended up walking to the local mall. And as I turned the corner, there was a watch and jewelry store right in front of me. On my wrist was a watch that I've owned for nearly 20 years. It's the best watch I've ever bought. It's a fantastic watch. I love it. But it had a problem. And that problem was it had a bent pen that was annoying me. The pen had been bent for 5 years, but for some reason I'd just never done anything about it. And in recent days, it had started snagging both on my wrist and on clothes and even the couch at one point. And as I saw the watch and jewelry store, I thought, well, why not? I just walked in. I didn't really even think about it. I just walked in and handed the guy my watch, and he said, yeah, it'll just take a couple minutes. I can do this. And so I wandered around the store looking at things, and on the counter was a pamphlet. The pamphlet was for something called the Community, C-O-M, capital U, Community, Torah. And it was a fundraising pamphlet, and they were raising money to write a Torah scroll, which, if you happen to understand Judaism, you understand is a pretty big thing. And it was a fascinating little pamphlet. I ended up taking it with me as I left. The gentleman said, as he finished my watch, he handed it to me, and he said, are you Jewish? I said, yeah, I'm not real good at it, but I'm Jewish. And he said, well, you should meet Rabbi Mendy. Rabbi Mendy is wonderful. This whole thing is really great. And, you know, there's the Torah scroll. He said, I'm taking this with me. I'll log on as soon as I get home. And then I said, how much do I owe you? And he said, just make a donation to the Torah scroll. Okay. Now, lest you think I just took advantage of that, I've been back to that store multiple times. Each time I walk the mall, I usually wave. But my watch has also broken a couple more times since then, the band. And he's fixed it both of those times. And then recently, last week, I had it cleaned for the first time in 20 years. So it's actually shiny and new now. It actually looks really good. But my wife also went back there back in September and got my other watch for my birthday present. So we've been supportive of the business. I didn't just take advantage of it. I want to be clear. As I was looking over the pamphlet that he had given me about the community tour, and I logged onto the website and quickly discovered that this was Chabad of Bainbridge Island in Northern Kitsap. Now, I'll admit I wasn't hugely familiar with Chabad. I knew about their website because Chabad has a huge presence online. Mostly what I knew was that the Rebbe had been the leader of Chabad, the seventh leader of the Chabad movement. I didn't know much about it. And it seemed like a very Hasidic system. That I had some familiarity with them because back even during Ronald Reagan's presidency, Chabad had gone to the White House to present Ronald Reagan with a menorah. And they seemed like they were active in the community. They were active about stuff. Really, I didn't know a whole lot about it. And then I met Rabbi Mendy. And to say that my world has changed in the last year would be an understatement of monumental proportions. The Chabad movement is Hasidic, but not orthodox in the sense of isolationist. They don't separate themselves from everyone else. The Chabad movement is very much like what I grew up with in the Salvation Army, in the sense of they're not interested in the politics of a synagogue. They're not interested in the politics of your beliefs, whether you're Reform, whether you're Orthodox, whether you're conservative, whatever. It doesn't really matter. What matters is, are you Jewish or not? And if you are, you're welcome. And if you're not, well, then come in anyway. You'll have a good time and you might learn something. It's kind of cool. The more I got to know about Chabad, the more I got to know Rabbi Mendy, the more I understood about Chabad in general, Chabad has a very strong intellectual component to it. In fact, the word Chabad is an anagram of three words, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, obviously in Hebrew, that guide the thought processes of what it's a very intellectually based idea. And of course, I became more and more involved with this. And in recent months, I've been taking Ben as well. We went to the Purim party a few months ago, and he had a ball doing that. And we celebrated at a big old picture of the Western Wall there on Bainbridge Island. And we had a great time at the Purim party, and introducing him to this has been really, really good. But in all of this, it's my faith. Sometimes my mission of this show and my faith intersect, but not always. And sometimes it becomes very existential for me. What am I doing? Am I doing a show? Am I doing politics? Am I doing Constitution? Am I doing faith? What am I doing? Sometimes I don't even know. Sometimes I worry about it because, well, there you go. I got an email this week from Buster, who mentioned the fact that he enjoys it when I talk about issues of faith and what I believe and those sorts of things. And so I took that as kind of a positive sign that, you know, maybe it's not a bad thing to talk about faith, particularly when combined with my other passion, which is, of course, the Constitution. So this week we were introduced, I guess, to an idea, a person. The person's name is Maimonides, otherwise known as the Rambam. And he is, not really sure how to explain it. Rambam was a rabbi back in the mid-1100s, into 1100s, 1180, that era, who took it upon himself to, he wanted to put together a book, an idea. He wanted to take all the amalgamated wisdom of both the Torah, back over there, along with other things like the Talmud and other learnings and things, and combine them into one source material that, combined with the study of the Torah, the written law, the written word, would enable someone to actually understand what's going on. Now, this is kind of an intriguing idea to me because Maimonides was facing a huge issue in his time. And I have often said to you that the study of the Constitution is very similar to the study of Scripture. That not that I'm putting Constitution on Scripture level, but that the methodology is very similar, particularly for me. It's very similar to Torah study, and it's very similar to the ideas of what I'm trying to accomplish. Maimonides is writing this book. It's called the Mishneh Torah, and the idea here is to do the same thing. It's to combine the things. For example, one of the things I talk about when I talk about Constitution is the idea of implied powers. People argue with me all the time. There's no such thing as implied powers in the Constitution. Really? Because it says build a navy, build and maintain a navy. How many ships is that? What kind of ships? What kind of sailors do you need? The implication of the power is that it says build and maintain a navy. It doesn't say how to do that. Likewise, the Torah says there are commandments in the Torah, for example, bind them between your eyes and on your arms. But what does it mean? How do you carry that out? Post them on your gate. How do you do these things? Those aren't in the Torah. Those are passed down through oral traditions, and they are passed down through learning that we have had through the years. But the problem is that through the years, through the thousands of years, some of that learning, and because of the diaspora, some of that learning had become diluted, and it had become difficult for Jews to learn these things and to understand them. Maimonides actually says in his book, at this time, we have been beset by additional difficulties. Everyone feels financial pressure. The wisdom of our sages has become lost, and the comprehension of our men of understanding has become hidden. Therefore, those explanations, laws, and responsa, which the Genoim, that's the writers of the Talmud, composed and considered to be fully explained material have become difficult to grasp in our age, and only a select few comprehend these matters in the proper way. Now, it didn't take me long when I read that to make that connection. I mean, it was like, holy crap. How is that any different from our understanding of the Constitution, other than in their case, it had been 2,000 years. In our case, it's just been a couple hundred years. When we talk about the study of the Constitution, now maybe you can see a little bit from Rambam's quote there, Maimonides, we call him the Rambam, this idea of combining the study of Torah written with the study of oral tradition. One can grasp the accumulated knowledge and understanding of the Torah in our relationship with God. In the study of Constitution and indeed history, what can we gain? Do we read just the Constitution and thus understand the entirety of it? Of course not. You have to read the Constitution so you understand the basis of what you're talking about, and then you have to get outside of that. You have to go to the Federalist Papers. Well, the Federalist Papers, as I've said, are not a commentary on the Constitution. They are an argument for the Constitution. Likewise, the Anti-Federalist Papers are an argument against it. And when you understand both of those arguments, you start to see there's more to this. Max Farren's books, The Records of the Federal Convention, 1787. What actually happened there? Madison kept his as well. The Documentary History of the Ratification of the Constitution. Fantastic books, huge books, but really good. But even those things can be complicated. Even those things can be difficult to understand because they're written in the language of the day, especially the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. Some years ago, a guy by the name of Josh Charles, we had him on the show, rewrote the Federalist Papers in the modern language. But even that wasn't free of his own biases. So you got to be careful what you do. So what do you do? I mean, there are books out there, folks, Constitutional Law for Dummies. It's not that you're a dummy. It's that any knowledge is better than no knowledge. And maybe the time has come for us to understand that to really teach Torah, you have to get into Maimonides. To really teach Constitution, to really understand Constitution, we're going to have to get outside of just the document on the page. It's not, there is no concept of sola scriptura when it comes to the Constitution, just like there isn't when it comes to Torah. You have to have that oral, external tradition, that external law, that external understanding of things in order to grow, in order to accomplish what it is that you're trying to do, which has in many ways re-energized me in a lot of ways, not just, it's not just Torah. I mean, I love Torah. I love understanding. I love studying that stuff. And believe me, Maimonides has opened up many, many things to me at a long email conversation to my rabbi last night about some of the things that I learned at nearly 60 years of age that Maimonides wrote 845 years ago that in the last 2 days have taught me. So why is it then that things written down 250 years ago should not be teaching us today as well about the Constitution and the government of our nation? The things that we could learn. And so I present to you the idea of a mission. Maimonides said this: your purpose should always be to know that which was intended to be known. And believe me, the people who wrote and ratified the Constitution of the United States, just like God who gave us the Torah, and the oral law as well, meant us to know that. Those people mean for us to understand and know the Constitution of the United States. And it's our job now to go and learn.